Ranges here in Utah. This is Cultural Connections. Hear from our many cultures and the issues that affect all of us. Now the host of Cultural Connections, Nkoyo Iyamba, on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Morning. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, at this time of the year, we usually have Christmas lights, Christmas trees. It's definitely pretty Christian, but there are parts of our community here in Utah that celebrate a little differently. Today, for Cultural Connections, we are here in Spanish Fork at the Krishna Temple. I am here with co-founder Charu Das. Good morning, Charu.
Good morning.
You and your wife, Vi, co-founded this temple.
We built one building in 87, worshipped there for 14 years, and then an adjacent piece of land became available, and eventually we built a temple that opened in 2001.
And so it's this temple?
The one we're standing in right now.
And where did you move from?
We'd spent 10 years in Los Angeles with Krishna Movement there.
And then decided to bring it to Utah. What was so appealing about Utah?
The piety and the fact that, you can skip a lot of unnecessary steps in your conversations, because pretty much everyone believes in God, and so you can just like start talking about God with just about everybody, and I don't think you can do that in other parts of the country.
And so basically here in Utah, that was a good foundation, I guess, a good icebreaker.
The basic piety was attractive, and then in 1976, some of our devotees were selling sets of the Vedic scriptures of India to college libraries and university libraries, and the most they'd ever sold on a campus, including libraries and professors that wanted to buy the sets for reference, and it was about an $800 investment. The most they'd ever sold on any college campuses were 6 in Dartmouth and 6 at Harvard. There were 3 libraries on each campus, and in each case 3 professors took a set of books. But in 1976, we received word that the 2-man crew that had come to Brigham Young University sold 19 sets of books in 2 days. Hugh Nibley bought a set, and then after that it was Domino's. So I had that fact in my mind that these people, you know, if the numbers say anything, the people in Utah are 3 times more pious than they are anywhere else in the country. And then I was looking for a radio station to buy and some land. And so in 1982, I saw a piece of property with a radio station tower advertised for sale just outside of Provo, Utah. And so I was very interested and keen to come up and look at it.
You know, this is a very Christian time of year, isn't it? And so with the, 100 or so Krishna devotees, how do they worship?
We're in the minority, but we're a happy minority. we've got our lights out. We had our own version of Festival of Lights in the beginning of November, and we decorated the temple with lights, and we're just going to keep them up along with everyone else until probably New Year. And in fact, the name Christmas kind of warms our heart, because the name of Christ is so close to the name of Krishna. And then Mas is also a Sanskrit word which means month. So when we hear the word Christmas, as well as the traditional Christian meaning, we also think of this as being the month of Krishna. And indeed, Krishna spoke the famous scripture 5,000 years ago, the Bhagavad Gita, the Song of God, in the month of December. And so we're perfectly happy to go along with the crowd and worship God to an extra special level this month.
Well, you know, this is the Krishna Temple is very popular here in Utah County, where it's pretty much 90% LDS, Latter-day Saint Faith Mormon. And you have a lot of the Utah County students that come here for, I think, your most popular activity, which is the Festival of Colors.
We have this celebrating the coming of spring. In fact, Krishna did the same thing 5,000 years ago, and so he inaugurated the event. We're following in his footsteps. It's usually the last Saturday in March. It'll be March 26th in 2011. And last year, we had an estimated 20,000 to 25,000 people. And when we show pictures of the event to visitors, people say, well, you know, where did all those people come from? Did all these Krishnas come from out of state? And I say, no, we didn't get any Krishnas from out of state. They're all from BYU down the road. You know? And I estimate about 40% of the BYU student body attends the festival.
And what's the draw? Why do you think they come?
It's a festival of love. It enriches our love in the two ways that we're meant to enrich love while we're here on earth, horizontally and vertically. It increases our horizontal love for fellow living beings, because once you're colored with all the powders and all, you stop taking yourself seriously. You stop seeing people as a threat to you, and you realize it doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. We're all intimately related as spiritual brothers and sisters. And it also enriches our horizontal connection with God, because throughout the afternoon we chant the names of God. We use Western instruments. We take an ancient practice of mantra meditation, but we deliver it, you see, with instruments that kids are used to. We have bass guitar, lead guitar, keyboards, drums, and so it's kind of a spiritual rock concert, or what you might call a mantra rock concert. And the kids dance and chant Hare Krishna, and they feel love of God throughout the whole afternoon. And again, Krishna is not another God. He's just a different name for the one God, whether you call him Elohim or Allah or Vishnu. They're just different names for the same God. The sun is always the sun, but if you're French, you call it Soleil. If you're Spanish, you call it Sol. And if you're English, you call it sun. But we're all referring by different names to the same orb in the sky.
And so as we stand here in the temple, describe for our audience what we're looking at here.
The obvious difference between our culture and even that of Muslimism and Christianity is the deity forms. And the deities which are standing here before us on the altar are the main ones are Radha Krishna. Radha is the first expansion of the Lord, the greatest devotee of the Lord, and then Krishna is the darkest figure with the flute. Now, there is a knee-jerk reaction of idol worship. You know, people see the statues and they say, well, is this idol worship? In fact, nothing could be further from the truth. There is idol worship, or idol worship does exist, but it's where people have imagined images and they worship them for some temporary benefit. But the deity worship has been going on for tens and tens of thousands of years in India, and this is an authorized way of worshiping God. We can't see God because we don't have the spiritual vision to do so, but God very kindly appears before us as the deity, which is carved according to the descriptions of the scriptures and the visions of the great saints and sages. So the deity worship, you can compare it to a post office box, you know, those boxes on the side of the road that say PMG that are blue and red. You can put your letter in there with confidence because it has all the authority of the federal government. You can't just put your letter in any old box lying by the side of the road and expect the same results. So the deity form of worship is an authorized form of worship whereby our love, our service, our devotion is directed towards the Lord and gets where it's supposed to go.
And when people are here in the temple worshiping, describe the form of worship or praise, as you would call it.
The LDS religion has this idea of consecration, and that's what we do. We consecrate without any limits, our word, our bodies, our mind, our deeds, 24 hours a day. The ideal is whatever you do, whether you're cleaning, do it for God. Whether you're cooking, do it for God. If you like sewing, do it for God. If you like drama, do it for God. If you like to play a guitar, do it for God. If you like singing, do it for God. If you like public speaking, do it for God. And in that way, through a variety of activities and by doing what we like to do and what we're good at doing and what God made us to do, we can stay in touch with God 24 hours a day, not just a few hours in church on Sunday.
All right, let's take a quick break. You're listening to Cultural Connections on KSL News Radio.
Gifts that can capture, share, display, or save photo memories are gifts worth giving. Inklees can take your pictures and videos and turn them into priceless gifts. One-hour classic and premium photo books are the perfect gift. Choose from four styles. Pick your layout, add copy, and in 1 hour you have a perfect holiday gift from $7.99. Photo calendars let you give a whole year's worth of photo memories. And a large 12-month calendar is only $19.99 and ready in 1 hour. They can even scan your old photos and turn them into priceless gifts. Make Inklees your photo greeting card headquarters. They have traditional folded and slimline cards, jumbo slimline cards, and even recordable message cards, all with envelopes, as low as 50 cents each and ready in 1 hour. And here's a great gift idea. Put your photos and video clips on a My Show DVD complete with background music to enjoy watching on a TV. This holiday season, let Inklees turn your photos into the perfect holiday gifts.
Every bead tells a story, and every story has a bead. Create your own story by starting a Troll Beads bracelet or necklace today at Shoeback Jewelers, where we offer over 500 Troll Beads to choose from, starting at just $26. Each artisan-designed Troll Bead is a unique representation of the world around us. For a limited time only, receive a free Troll Beads bracelet with the purchase of a decorative clasp.
Over 500 Troll Beads to choose from, only at Shoeback Jewelers in your local mall.
Come on, I can do this. I can get her something that she actually wants this Christmas.
This Christmas, do something extraordinary. Surprise her with a piece of Everlon diamond jewelry. The Everlon Diamond Knot Collection features the Hercules Knot, an ancient symbol of strength that represents the unbreakable bond of love.
She definitely deserves a diamond.
Only at Shoeback Jewelers. This Christmas, make it Shoeback Jewelers in every mall up and down. on the Wasatch Front.
Political and cultural issues impact Utah's growing minority populations in very different ways. Hear more about it. This is KSL's Cultural Connections on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. We are here at the Krishna Temple in Spanish Fork, Utah. I am here with Charu Das, co-founder of the Krishna Temple. Back in 1987, it's been a long time, but officially this temple that we're standing in, 2001.
It'll be 10 years in June since this gorgeous Rajasthani-style temple opened.
And this is a very, actually, for a place here in Utah County where the dominant religion is Latter-day Saint Mormon, it's very popular.
It's unexpectedly so. And of course, if you're a missionary, a Krishna missionary, and you want to start a new temple, you don't go to somewhere where 90% of the people are already committed on their religion. And you don't go to somewhere where there's a minuscule Indian community, because this is the Orthodox religion of India, and Indians reflexively support us. But there are very few Indians in Utah County to do so. And so I guess you could say that my wife and I made a foolish strategical mistake when we came here. Fools rush in where wise men fear to tread. And yet it's turned out gloriously successful. We have energy, we're innovative, and we saw early on that the number of people who would be interested in the worship per se would be limited, and we wouldn't be able to survive, what to speak of thrive, on that basis only. So we strategized and decided to run this as a cultural resource and for tours and for festivals.
So like a cultural community center.
A cultural community center, free of charge, not a single tax dollar was levied in order to produce it. The individual saved the cost of a ticket to India. Of course, many people who visited here end up going to India because it quickens their interest. And so we land on our feet, and then, of course, the community itself. We can't say enough about the neighborliness and the friendliness of the community and the ethic of selflessness and helping other people. I don't think there's any other state or community in the United States where people go as far out of their way to help and support other people. And in fact, I think we've been adopted, you know, that I think it's people take it as their own business to make sure that we survive and succeed.
Well, even though the Krishnas wouldn't consider themselves Christians, there is some intersect, isn't there, in this very Christian community?
Krishnan, as I said, we share three principles in common, and we all believe in a divine being whom we should serve and love, and we believe that we need to do what's right in this life because it's not worth jeopardizing the life hereafter to cut corners or to leave your ethics aside. Everything that goes around comes around. And so I think there's a commonality, a common way of looking at the world, a common code of behavior that we follow, which makes us all very congenial with each other.
And during this Christmas holiday season, you do have something for the community.
We have a Christmas dinner on Christmas Day, and those that would like a meatless option are welcome to come by and cook something vegetarian home and bring it, or just come and bring a couple of bucks as a donation and come and chant with us and celebrate the Lord. And we also, of course, the inevitable question is, what do you think of Jesus Christ? He declared himself to be a son of God, and in terms of his behavior and his comportment, he certainly acted as one would expect a son of God to act. We're all sons of God, but unfortunately most of us don't act like sons of God, whereas Jesus Christ was a perfect son of God, and we would do well to model our behavior on his.
In fact, this month, December, is a very holy month for the Krishna community, isn't it?
5,300 years ago, Krishna was on the planet, just like Christians believe that Christ came 2,000 years ago. He was on the planet for 32 years. We accept that, but we also believe that the Lord himself came 5,300 years ago, and he was on the planet for 125 years. And in the 90th year of his manifested pastimes, he spoke the sacred text of the Bhagavad Gita, or the Song of God. And he spoke it in December. And so this month is a special month for us, and we think of it as, and the Sanskrit word for month is mas, and Christ has so much similarity to Krishna, we actually think of this month as the month of Krishna.
And there's a lot of chanting. The music is very important for Krishna's.
There's always chanting. Technically, in India, we're called Vaishnavas or followers of Vishnu, who is another name of Krishna. But more popularly in the Western countries, we're known as the Hare Krishnas. And that's fine with us because that's our foundational practice. And when someone calls us a Hare Krishna, well, they're also chanting. So good for them.
And so we're looking here at, describe this, it looks like a picture, murals.
This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who revived the chanting of Hare Krishna all over India 500 years ago. And when you sit down, as we were doing it, and playing the harmonium and the kartals and the mridanga drum, that's called kirtan, K-I-R-T-A-N. And the literal translation of that is to glorify God. Kirtan is becoming very popular nowadays. In fact, they're thinking of making a Grammy Music Award category for some of the kirtan singers who have put out CDs and sold them in the tens of thousands. And in fact, the next time you pay $500 for a weekend yoga retreat, the featured event will be a Saturday night kirtan, and probably most of what you pay goes to pay those itinerant musicians. And we're also going to feature exclusively kirtan at our next Festival of Colors in March. In the past, we've had Indian dance, and then we've put the band on, and we've kind of gone back and forth between the Indian dance and the bands. But on the coming March 26th, we're just going to have kirtan. And we're going to bring in some of the very best kirtan groups like C.C. White, like Larissa Stowe, and the Shakti Tribe, the Temple Bhajan Band. And we're going to have a lot of talent assembled here on March 26th so that everyone will have a transcendental day.
Well, we don't realize that so much of the Krishna devotion is part of popular culture, like with yoga or certain movies.
There's even, if you go to YouTube and you do a search for kirtan rabbi, there's even a rabbi, and I think he's from New York, and he learned to play the harmonium, and he sings all the Old Testament names of God melodically like we do, and you can see in the video the kids with the yarmulkes all dancing just like we do. And that's it. I mean, it doesn't, we don't insist that you use the Krishna name. If there's another name that you're more familiar, or a set of names that you're more familiar or comfortable with, that's fine. One time I organized a talk by our spiritual master in Australia at a seminary, a Franciscan seminary. This was in 1972. And Prabhupada, our guru's name was, he gave a wonderful talk about the universality and the commonality of religion. And at the end, he invited the seminarians to chant with us, and he said, your name for Christ is Christo, which from the Greek means the anointed one. So you chant Christo, and we'll chant Krishna. So the drums and the harmonium started up, and they were chanting, of course, we were chanting Krishna, and they were chanting Krishna, 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 and it all came out the same. And I'll never forget that day in my life, because these black-robed, white-collared seminarians, tears were just flowing down their eyes during the enactment of the chanting.
Well, we're going to have our musicians here, Sri Hanuman Das on the harmonium and Wendy Kilpack playing the karatals, and of course you, Charu, on the drums. Tell us what we'll be hearing.
This is called the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's really just three words arranged in a word formula called a mantra, so that you don't need a hymn book and you don't need to know Sanskrit. You can pick up the words in just a minute or so and then be dancing and chanting and enjoying transcendental ecstasy right out of the chutes.
fast should your nasal spray work? Did I hear you say, as fast as possible? Well, we agree. So we made Sinus Buster Nasal Spray to bring...